You need to have a herbicide that specifically mentions it as one of the items that it will kill. Otherwise, it won't kill it.
All right, guys, we are recording.
Okay.
And it is August 4th, 2025. Right now, we have 9:07. So, all ready to open the meeting?
Yep.
All right. Excellent. So, first thing to do is to review the minutes.
Okay, review the minutes of the previous meeting?
Yep.
Okay. Everybody had a chance to look them over, or are you doing it now? Okay, do I have a motion to accept the minutes or to any corrections or changes?
I move that we accept them.
Okay, do I have a second?
I second.
Okay, thank you, Bowen. Moved and seconded to accept. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Okay. All right.
Oh, you know what? I forgot to do the roll call. That's my call.
Okay. We'll go back. Yep.
Okay. Lee Wells. Vaughn.
Here.
And Bill.
Here.
Okay. And Randy.
Present.
Okay. Justin O'Day is absent. I'm Justin Colell, the coordinator. I'm here. Chris Walker's absent, but we do have Kevin and Joyce and Daniel and John. We also have Don Kirko, and Clarence has joined us.
Okay.
That's everybody. There we go. Okay, so next. The application, we only received one application as of right now for the District 4 position. So we can pass around, or does everybody have a copy?
Yeah, I have a copy, yeah.
You have a copy of Clarence's application?
They're on the back table over here.
Oh,
there you go.
Mm-hmm.
Clarence, I see, by golly, you did manage to get 10 people to vote for you, huh?
Yeah.
Yeah, and I see how many of them are Goffs here. Gee whiz.
Well, I could have been a lot more.
Yeah.
I tried not to get, all family.
Yeah, yeah. I see one is Aaron Geisey there and stuff. I haven't talked to Aaron in a long time. Jeez.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. How's he doing health-wise?
Doing good. He quit drinking.
Oh, okay.
So he's really doing a lot better now.
Okay. I didn't know that he had trouble with it and everything. When I knew him at the antique club,
mm-hmm.
And everything and stuff, he ended up resigning because his health was so bad. He had trouble with, I don't know what he had trouble with, but.
He had a lot of back problems.
That's right, yeah. Yeah, he had to give up working mechanicing because of back problems, so.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, Aaron's actually doing really well now.
Okay, good.
Seems to be.
Yeah. Okay, so what do we need, Justin? We need do we need any motion or anything on it to?
Oh yeah, So next we vote to nominate an applicant for that District 4 position. So if you have one application, then
okay. It's
pretty straightforward.
Okay.
We do need a motion, yeah.
Do we have a motion to accept Clarence's application for the board?
I will.
Okay, Vaughn, you're on.
Second.
Okay. And Randy, you're second. This sounds about like the county commissioners, you know.
Yeah.
When it was three, you know, it was always back and forth, and the chair couldn't do anything. Yeah. Okay. All right. All those in favor of Clarence's application, say aye.
Aye.
Anybody opposed? All right. Thank you. So, all right.
Okay. I could do some quick updates. As I look over the minutes from last time, I can touch on a couple of topics that are, I guess, old business. Last time we talked about the Clark County Fair booth having live plants and pressed plants. You guys can correct me if I'm wrong, but I think we just went with exclusively pressed plants this time around.
That's correct.
The transport involved of live plants is quite a bit more involved than the pressed plants. And the pressed plants have been really great to be able to show somebody the perfect snapshot of the flower. Like, boom, here you go. Instead of trying to, you know, get a live plant to do exactly what you want.
You probably have to water them and everything too, don't you?
Well, you do, yes. Yeah. Generally.
And I have to say, it's like the from my shift at the fair already, watching people interact with the pressings, it's like we have them laminated, so they're able to like pick them up, and you know, we're getting a lot of interaction that way.
Very popular. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And kids have been really liking them too, which is
good
to see.
Okay.
Yep. So, and then one other thing that I noticed from last time. The state noxious weed board had added holly, so that's now a class C weed that's possible to designate. Last time I talked about the procedure if we wanted to amend the Clark County noxious weed list. If we do want to include holly as locally selected, mandated for control in Clark County, then we can do that. We just need to adopt it just like all of the other times where we adopt the weed list. So just, you know, have a vote and all that stuff.
Is there any time period? Do we have to bring it forward and then wait for so many days or something or other? Anything, we should just bring it forward at this meeting and adopt it?
Okay. Yeah, if you wanted to do that, you could take that action now. It just has to be in the same format because, as you recall, when you have the February meeting, when you adopt the weed list, there has to be the hearing first so everybody can provide the testimony. So we would just, you know, do something same as that.
Okay.
So that people can weigh in on it.
What's the favor of the board, Clarence? You're able to interact here now and
being a Class C weed. What does that mean?
Yeah. So at the state level, the state weed board would allow counties to locally mandate control of Class C weeds. When they add it to list, they don't really mandate any of the Class C weeds. Those are just options for you. So if somebody says, I don't like bamboo, I'm sorry, but the state hasn't added that to the list.
Hasn't added it.
Right, so when they add it to the list as a Class C, that's basically saying that any county can choose to locally mandate control of that species. So in the case of holly, the state has just this year added that one on.
Mm-hmm.
And the stipulation at the state level is that it's not where commercially grown. So very similar to the stipulation as wild carrot, where wild carrot is not designated where it's commercially grown. And I think we just nominate him. Doesn't he have to be, doesn't the council have to? Yeah.
Yeah, next step would be for the council to.
Yeah.
Tough.
Well, there's three classes of weeds. Have you seen a list of those?
No, I have not.
Yeah, so
I need to get him a list of those.
Yeah, yeah.
Great the place looks on the website.
What's that?
If they're on class A,
on
then
yeah, yeah.
Then we go after them.
Yeah.
Hey, Justin, I didn't realize that that holly has been a problem. I mean, is it maybe I just don't travel around in the right places? Mm-hmm.
It's becoming a real big problem in a lot of reforestation plantations.
Is it? I know at our place we've got it down by the railroad tracks, and
it's
my God, yeah, it's just
I have a lot of it
in the dark of the.
That's one thing I don't have a problem with right now, so maybe I'm just unlucky.
The birds eat the berries. They go out. A lot of fence lines along the roads that you'll see holly growing up in.
Yeah. Yeah.
I've seen it clean up in Yakult Burn.
Yeah, most of our forested properties that the county manages.
They don't have to fight it, though, do they? A timber company?
No, they don't.
They don't have to fight Tansy or nothing.
Well, forested properties, they have to maintain noxious weeds within the, it's a buffer. It's like
right, so close to the property.
Within 100 feet of the property line, or I don't remember exactly what the state law says.
So, yeah, there's a couple of changes. Yeah, there's a couple of changes for the forest lands. Firstly, it's a number of years after they cut it. That's when they have to. And it's also that it is a 1,000-foot buffer.
Oh, wow.
So, yeah, in the smaller parcels, that could be most of the whole thing, but on the bigger ones.
Yeah, I was thinking a year ago they tried to change that and it didn't go through.
Right.
Mm.
Yeah. Mm. Yeah, I can pull up the weed list here.
You got your camera working down in the corner down there.
No, we do, yeah.
Pennies are on the weed list now?
It's for comparison.
Gosh, yeah.
There we go. So there's quite a few, but all the ones on the left are class A, so you must destroy the root as well. And middle and to the right, these are all class B, and there's the class C weeds that we have added on. So these ones are just control, which means stop it from spreading. If it spreads by the roots, stop the roots from spreading. If it spreads by seeds, don't let it go to seed. So at the state level, they require the class A and the class B, several of the class B. Some of them are actually not designated at the state level. So the local county weed board will select whichever they please that are undesignated B, and also any of the class C that they'd like to locally mandate for control. Okay, let's see, am I good to continue with the updates?
Yeah.
Okay, all right. So our Tansy signs, we put those out and immediately had a very, very high attrition rate. Sometimes there's only like a third of the signs remaining. Oh. And sometimes they're in a place you wouldn't really expect, but they're still there. So.
Is it a collector's item or something? I mean, I can't.
We've seen several. Yeah, we've seen several of them where they've plucked them from the roadside and they stick them right at their neighbor's driveway. That's kind of the.
I thought maybe the kids that put it in their bedroom or something, rather, you know,
cheeky thing to do.
On their barn wall or something.
It's a conversation starter.
Yeah.
I've been noticing quite a few worms on some of the tansies out there.
Have you?
Yeah.
I haven't seen any at all.
Yeah.
Now, maybe it's just down our way. I don't know.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah. I noticed a lot in Le Centre, so it does seem like it's spotty.
Yeah.
So uh-huh. Not so much there.
Do they bring those worms in every year, or do they?
No, we can't move them.
Cinnabar moth comes in.
Yeah, the moth naturally disperses.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
We can't move them anymore at all because they actually will go after native plants. Mm-hmm. So in the same family, Senecio.
The county used to hand them out.
Yeah, back in the 70s.
Been years.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Hmm. But then you weren't supposed to have cows on it. You weren't supposed to do this on it. And a lot of stipulations.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And it's hard to plant them because you set them on the bush and they just sort of curl up and fall off. I don't know whether they go back up the bush or not, but
yeah, they do. Yeah, that's kind of their defensive posture. As soon as you bump them or you pull the tansy plant, then they kind of go crazy. All right. So
how many tansy signs were you able to get out? You remember, Justin?
I think it's been about 50, right? We've split them up.
Oh, wow, so that meant, okay.
No, actually, I think it's about 30.
We think we 30. We both put out around 15.
Oh, good. Okay.
Yeah,
okay.
So are we out of signs, are we?
No.
Oh,
no,
we got more signs.
More. Yeah, okay. We still have more. I ordered a good surplus.
When do you pick those up? In October or something? Or?
Yeah. This goes whenever the tansy goes away. And we do keep track. We have records of where we're putting them. We're keeping track of did they get stolen
or not,
where they get moved to. We're trying to change up where we put them every year, keep track of which ones survive, and we put them back in those spots if they stick around.
Mm-hmm.
We're trying to be smart about it as much as we can. So
what are your thoughts of
GPS
pulling tansy?
Yeah.
Are you going to get it all, or are those roots going to come back up next year?
Oh, yeah, well, that largely depends on how much of it breaks off. I've had lots of tansy plants I'm pulling that are snapping off. But if you have either moist soil or gravelly soil or sandy soil, then it can pull completely out with all the roots. And since it has fibrous roots, if you get most of those, then yeah, you'll be all right.
I had a guy that I sort of disagreed with him at first, and he says, well, he's went back where he's pulled them the next year, and he said there's nothing there.
Mm-hmm.
He said, I disagree with you. So,
well, I'm surprised there's nothing there because there's probably a reservoir of seed, you know, that, yeah, all of us had that around and everything. Yeah. Yeah.
Since it's a biennial, you can kind of get a good feeling for what's just freshly germinated versus what has overwintered. And if you've pulled something, then that's not going to look like it's, you know, already had a year to grow.
Mm-hmm.
Unless, you know, it snaps off.
Do you have a question, Juan? Yeah, are the signs mostly on farmland or private?
Yeah, they're all on county roadsides.
Okay.
Or sometimes city, but we tend to try to put them in places, yeah, where you're entering into more bigger farmland areas.
Yeah.
Major roads, major intersections, they kind of vary in where we're putting them. But
okay.
It's like we try to find, like those places we're going to get as much visibility as we can.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. It's like I have one at, what is it, Salmon Creek and 50th Ave. Mm-hmm. And it's one of the ones that I expect to go, but it's stuck around so far, so.
Well, and I try to put them sometimes too in places where maybe they won't get taken as easily, like Vernon and Washougal River Road, mm-hmm. which is mm-hmm. kind of a death trap. But yet it's gone missing twice in a row anyway, so whoever's really determined to get that one, it's
There's such a problem in Camas with tansy. It's everywhere. It doesn't seem like the city.
Yeah.
Is anybody working with the city to, because I see it everywhere. I live and I walk around Camas all the time. I see it in
the
private land and the forest.
We've worked with them for garlic mustard particularly, and they've kind of been an issue the last few years.
Mm-hmm.
Well, you see some people now, they'll go out and mow it,
but
and if
frankly,
it's yellow, there's still going to be seed there,
the
right?
Cities,
yeah.
The city Texas is my least favorite to work with. Vancouver's pretty responsive, Washougal's pretty responsive, So Battleground.
Yeah, Battleground and Ridgefield are both quite responsive.
Chemist has just been very difficult to work with the last few years.
Yeah. I think we fined them, not last year, the year before.
Pretty recently.
Did they respond?
Oh, yeah. We've been in contact with them a lot.
This year they hired a contractor and they fired the contractor.
Before they did anything?
No, they did one site pretty darn well, but they fired the contractor because a lack of communication from the contractor. So I would kind of say, you know, the first time is understandable, but if that keeps happening over and over again, that would really seem, like it's a bigger issue.
But they didn't hire anybody to replace that person?
I hadn't heard any update about that, no.
They were really bad at communication.
Yeah, so, I hadn't heard any.
That being said, that's about garlic mustard and tansy. I haven't really heard anything from them, so.
Yeah. Back several years ago, when we had an agreement with them and we were controlling things, we had work getting done for Tansy. But since the end of that agreement, there's been precious little work done on anything that's Class B. Mm-hmm. Seems like, you know, they're not hardly getting the Class A stuff, so. Yeah.
Hmm. Oof. Well, I live in Camas. Is there anything I can do to help, or? I know some people on the council. Good friend. One of them is a good friend.
Bring it up to city council about
And the director of their public works has been a new position.
Oh, that's right. Tran went somewhere else.
Right. So that's been one of the things that I've been trying to keep up with. It's just when a new person gets hired, bringing them up to speed in a way that maybe internally they're not getting up to speed.
Are they in place already?
I hadn't heard. I thought that the last time I heard there was an interim person who was filling in. But I hadn't heard about any official hiring, so that might have happened. It's been a while since the last news.
I don't recall if a public works director has been hired. I know that they replaced Trank's position. Chris Widikowski, I think is his name, is the new parks director. But I'm not sure about public works director.
Yeah, I think it's still an interim person.
Yeah.
And the subtext there was just kind of like, well, this is an interim person, so you're not, you know, don't expect a lot. Yeah, that would be my recommendation. Bringing awareness at all levels of, all levels of the organization.
Yeah, I'll leave a voicemail. I think I've only done it twice in several years, about Tansy out of control. On the perimeter of Dorothy Fox Elementary.
Mm-hmm.
And don't hear back, nothing happens.
Mm-hmm. And that might actually be more helpful to target the school district itself, because some instances, you know, the maintenance people are different. And, you know, if it reaches somebody at one level of the organization, that might not translate into who you actually need to talk to. So if we're out and we see things and we actually flag down the person who's doing, you know, mowing or maintenance, that seems to be by far and away the best way to get things done.
Yeah,
nothing said yet. I think I agree with that. The school districts have been a lot more responsive. The only issue is that for some, like we have had issues this year with Evergreen. If they're spraying, they often are, I mean, obviously they don't want to spray on school grounds when there's kids walking on the trails. They have their own requirements for that. Mm-hmm. And so we've had issues in particular, one school that has a bunch of hemlock, and they were like, not willing to spray really at all. And well, you need to take care of the hemlock. So so that's certainly an issue, but yeah, that'd be great.
Well, you mentioned the outlying areas around our place is just
you know, I know legally I'm not supposed to spray across the line and spray the neighbors, but boy, it really bugs me that 4 feet or 6 feet that's right there. And anyhow, yeah. I've got our place cleaned up pretty good, but that doesn't mean anything about that. Yeah.
You need a sign.
I sometimes I don't have the best relationship with all my neighbors, and that really could set them off.
Well, that's why you got to go back camera every year, because it's going to grow on your side because it blows over every year.
Yeah.
Canadians are terrible.
Can you imagine how much it's been blowing around this year with all the wind?
Yeah.
Oh. Yeah, up the road from us, there's one spot there by a construction site, and oh my God, it's as big as this room here, and just solid with fluff.
Oh,
you know, and seed. Oh, for Canadian thistle. And
once you stir that ground up, here comes the weeds.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah,
yeah. I see a lot of thistle seeds blown around this year, more than ever.
Yeah, yeah. Okay. All right, Tansy signs round leaf bittersweet.
Yeah, with round leaf bittersweet, I still have yet to treat the first population that we found. Certain things are behind, but the good news on that is I actually can treat that year round since it's a climbing vine. We did not find any viable seed production on it before, so it seems like it's not in any danger of escaping with seed. So as soon as I can find the time to get out there, then I'll be able to chop all that down. I don't think that the trees themselves were in any extra danger. They were either already falling over or pretty well entangled. Hmm. So yeah, I'll get back to that one when I can. The variable leaf milfoil, there's a couple updates for that one. I have found that a few of the sites where the treatment looked to have taken success, you know, would have been successful, there's actually variable leaf milfoil growing again. So my thought is maybe slightly different rates, and especially when there's lots of other plant matter. It seems like especially the not water shield, the one that's like it, the pondweed, that one seems to really soak up the herbicide, and since it's used in such really low rates, it seems like it just all goes into the other into the other plants. So there's a few more places for me to revisit, or maybe I'll use a contractor so that the bandwidth can
have you have been out time. To Jones's?
What's that?
Have you been to Jones's lately, or?
I've been to see it, yeah, and it's still there, looking pretty healthy, and
their project's not working real well, or?
Well, I wasn't under the impression that it could really kill or reduce macrophytes, you know, normal plants, normal aquatic plants. Seemed like that system, from what I read up on it, seemed like it was mostly for bad smells in your pond, you know, bacteria and that sort of thing. So I don't know. I didn't have a lot of expectation for that part of it, to really get rid of the weeds. The blueberry people are in contact, and sounds like as soon as they're done with their watering for the year, then we can do a treatment. So that's probably, I'm guessing, gonna be one for the contractor to do, because
they're busy
organic
picking berries now.
Yeah, the organic blueberries, that company requested that we do the fast test to ensure that the herbicide is cleared, the water. So the contractor can do that. I think it makes good sense for them to be that wants to take care of that part.
If they want you to wait that late, does that create problems as far as control goes? Can you still get control okay?
Yeah,
I noticed with what the material works okay.
Yeah, I noticed that. It seems like the milfoil is actively growing and treatable all the way up until it falls back into the water, because it emerges and has its flowering with the simple leaves, and then late in the year, like, you know, let's say just after the first frost or something, then it seems like it's falling back over into the water. Mm.
You say it has a flower on it?
Yeah, they're inconspicuous, but yes, they do have flowers.
Color?
It's cream colored or greenish.
And then that flower has seeds, or is it more?
It can make seeds, yeah.
More growing from the roots?
I would imagine it's mostly growing from the roots, yeah, and vegetatively reproducing. Mm-hmm. But it is possible for it to grow from seeds, yeah, which is
so
different.
It could float down the creek somewhere else.
Yes.
Yeah.
Definitely. We haven't heard anything back from the knotweed grant. I submitted our application for the grant and haven't heard anything, which I guess is not too surprising because Washington State's having budget issues. So we'll see whatever happens with that. If we don't get funding from the state, I would still very much like to keep tabs on the knotweed that we've been treating. And there's some places I would still like to get to, but we'll have to obviously balance that with every other constraint.
So I see you've got several different knotweeds. We battle knotweed a little bit along the sides of our roads, gravel roads we have for pumpkin patch.
Mm-hmm.
Are we talking the same knotweed, a prostrate knotweed?
Well, no. There are four species that are involved with the riparian areas.
Oh, okay. All right.
Prostrate knotweed, you find that in sidewalk cracks and all over the roads and whatnot. Yeah.
Okay.
That's very, very small in comparison.
Oh, really? Okay.
Yeah.
I haven't seen the other knotweed. Okay.
Yeah. Yeah, so it's been called Japanese knotweed, which gets about 6 feet tall. And Ooh. Then Bohemian knotweed is the cross. It gets, you know, 8 or 10 feet tall. And giant knotweed will get 15 or maybe even 18 or 20 feet tall.
Oh, wow. Oh.
And then we also have Himalayan knotweed in three or four places in the county. But that's pretty rare.
Hmm. Okay.
You need to spend more time down by the river.
Is that right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Well, I don't get much time down there farming down by the river, so yeah. Okay. But really, okay. All right.
It's mostly Bohemian knotweed, incidentally.
Okay.
We did a job last year, and I didn't know the difference in the species, but there was a patch of them that was in between the trees, and it was not right on the river, but it was in the area that would, in the winter or in the runoff time, it floods.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And these things were surrounded by, you know, the broadleaf trees in the area, but they were at least 15 feet tall.
Really?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, about that big on the bottom.
Mm-hmm.
Wow.
Does the leaf look similar?
Yeah, heart-shaped type of leaf, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Most of them, yes. The Himalayan knotweed is longer and thinner. It's not quite a strap shape, but more of like a bamboo-shaped leaf on the Himalayan knotweed. Otherwise, yes, they're all spade-shaped. Yeah,
okay.
Or heart-shaped.
Yeah, when I saw knotweed, I thought, really? Knotweed's a problem? It just grows along the edge of the road there and stuff. And yeah, okay, all right, I got you. Yeah.
Now there's fields that you see that it has taken over.
Really?
The Japanese knotweed.
Mm-hmm. Okay. It
kills out all the grass, and that's all that'll grow there.
Really? Mm-hmm. Oh, wow. Mm-hmm.
Yes. Yep. It's a really dense, can shade everything else out. So,
mm.
Yeah. So we talked before about the Home and Garden Idea Fair. Right now we are at the Clark County Fair. So far the shifts have been going well, and we've had a very busy opening shift with over 260 contacts made with passersby of the public. And things tapered off after that, but it has been very engaging. Yeah, so lots of good, education and outreach going on there. And it goes until the 10th of August.
Big age range too.
Yeah, is it the 10th or the 11th?
The 10th.
10th.
Yeah, okay. All right. Civil infractions. I am just about to write some civil infractions. With Chris gone, the process is delayed a little bit, but we will get those out the door in August. And incidentally, if the actual citation is written, you know, a week or 2 weeks later on, that doesn't really matter so much, because the plants have already, you know, gone to seed, so that the actual violation of the law occurred.
How many are you looking at?
It seems like right now there'll be about four, maybe five or so, but
repeats.
Actually,
I'm just gonna ask. Yeah.
Yeah. No, actually, we've had some pretty good results from, I mean, except for cannabis. Sorry.
Well, we've got what, two agreements with somebody that's supposed to be taking care of.
I think
them.
So. Yeah. Yes.
And they're they're doing it.
Yes.
Good.
Yes.
Good. Okay.
Yeah. Well, yeah. That has been.
Those were people that was going to get an infraction. They were going to get a fine. And they made an agreement. They wrote it up. If they take care of it, they won't get the fine. So it sounds like it's working.
Yeah. Yeah.
I think again, like I know I mentioned it last time, but the letters that you guys send out, that from ones that had been contacted the previous year.
Mm-hmm.
Every single one of the customers that I had last year that got the initial letters of you need to get it cleaned up and so on, as soon as they get the letter, they say, I got another letter and I might have a problem. And it's like, you know, why don't I just go walk it first? Because they're just trying to notify you to keep attention. And I mean, that's a great educational mm-hmm. opportunity also to be able to tell the people that they're not, you know.
Once you're on the list, you're there for a while.
They'll be reminding you until, you know, and that's the biggest thing, is it's easy for them to forget.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and also that we remind them early enough in the mm-hmm. season that,
mm-hmm.
you know, they don't go on vacation and, you know, have it slip off the radar.
Okay.
Certainly.
So in that case, then, are we... if you have one that has to be reviewed, do we have another board meeting that will show up later?
If anyone appeals, we'll most likely have that timeline before the November meeting. Yes.
Okay. All right.
Yeah. And as a little bit of old business, the U.S. West CenturyLink that still hasn't paid their civil infraction. Last time around, we talked about the abatement process for that property, but since then, we've actually been in contact with them, and they've done some things, so they're not really a good candidate for abatement there.
Hmm.
But this winter time, I'd like to still get that ready to use, so that if we do have repeat offenders that we can actually get the weeds controlled and not just have it be fines, which really doesn't.
One thing to bring you up on day two, they talked about the repeat defenders.
Mm-hmm.
If somebody turns around and sells that property, the county has to start all the way back over.
With a new landowner, yeah. Yeah.
Did Polish ever complete their
verification? Yes. Yes, I remember back at their appeal meeting, they mentioned the property just to the south, and that's one of the worst right now with tansy. So Yeah, they did. They weren't perfect, but they definitely mitigated it as best as you know I expect. You know, for the level of detail oriented. But yeah, there'll probably be some more updates for civil infractions that I can provide at the November meeting.
I got a question. I just thought about talk about property and owners and stuff. We talk about the reservation down there, the Cowlitz. Do you have any authority over the reservation there?
No, but they've historically been a very good partner to work with us. Of all of the land stewards, they have typically been the most concerned. The
highest. So if you see something, you forward the information to them? And
right.
Okay. Right.
Yep.
Yeah, this year they were on it well enough that I didn't need to send them anything. I got there and was like, I actually got there the day they were spraying their hemlock, and it was just like, cool.
So they're good stewards.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, good.
Yep. Yeah, they approach it from a natural resources and respecting the land kind of angle, and yeah, they do a great job. There have been very few times where there's something new that pops up, you know, and it's been a little slower. We did not have any public comment that was submitted as of, you know, today when we last checked. But next, I would just say if anybody wants any more updates on anything, just ask and I can do more update. But if there's none, then we'd be ready for the in-person public comment section.
I do want to go back to the Holly. What would you use to take care of ivy or holly or things like that? Because you know the waxiness of the leaf makes it really tough.
Really difficult. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yep. There's lots and lots of different ways that you can go about that.
Other than cutting them down.
Yeah. Well. Yeah. Yeah. That's for a homeowner that has a carpet of ivy. A lot of times you can just have a weed whacker go through and knock all those leaves off because the new leaves that come up are that lighter lime green.
You have to hit them early.
And then you can hit those before the waxy cuticle is there. Otherwise, yeah, you can cut and paint on herbicide and you can use... Yeah.
Let you crawl underneath that holly tree and go cut that son of a gun off.
Oh, I was talking about ivy.
Oh, ivy.
I was referring to both had the same... To me, they both had the same challenge.
Yeah. Yeah, you can use glyphosate on both of them. And same idea of, like, yes, cutting into them, yeah. Cutting into the holly to make sure that none of the branches touch down again. Because anytime they touch, they can...
They sprout again, do they?
New roots, yep. Yeah, it's such that even if you were cut down a holly tree and it falls over, then that whole log
really
starts growing. Mm-hmm. Same with cedar trees. Yeah.
Some of mine, you couldn't walk through there.
Well, right. Of course.
I was just up there the other day. Yeah. Now they're 30 feet tall.
Oh, it's
I can walk underneath them. They're, you know, 3-4 inches big, some of them bigger. Yeah. I cut them off and treat them, and you got to treat the tree that you cut off also. Because they will keep growing. You treat both stumps.
It can be a very big problem in natural areas. Yeah, legacy lands. And
so if you treat the stump of the tree,
that'll get into the roots.
Yeah, I treat the stump, but you treat the tree also, and that kills it from growing more.
And little ones like that, I've probably sprayed 6 or 8 times. They look like they're dying. Now, whether they are or not, I don't
know. That's stuff I've experienced. That's why I was wondering if there was anything.
I would recommend putting something like we use Scythe as a penetrant. So Scythe. It's pelargonic acid.
Scythe.
Scythe. Yeah. Scythe. Scythe is the brand name. The active ingredient is pelargonic acid.
And how do you spell that?
S-C-Y-T-H-E.
Yeah. But we don't endorse a brand over one other brand. It's just pelargonic acid.
Well, what was that again that you're not endorsing? I just want to spell it right.
Scythe. Yeah.
S-C-Y-T-H-E.
Yep.
Okay.
Have you ever tried AMS, ammonium sulfate?
Yeah.
and not and much better results?
Just for different things. We typically put that with our glyphosate when we're hitting regenerative grass.
Oh, okay.
Because that works really well. And anytime
but
it's...
But not necessarily holly, it doesn't necessarily...
I haven't.
Holly shrugs it off, huh?
Well, we're not typically using that for the actual burn down. We're usually using that to wake up the plants if it's like wintertime blackberry or something like that. So it can act as a fertilizer when you use it at that rate, and you can use it for either pH balancing or, fertilizer effect. But pelargonic acid's pretty flexible. You can use it as a penetrant aid so that you actually defeat the waxy cuticle. You can even use it at higher rates to achieve burn down. But we have just used it for the penetrating mostly. Although we did some experiments on garlic mustard to try to see if we could do a last ditch burn down to defeat the seed formation. Didn't seem like that worked very well.
Size, can you get it through Wilco Battle Around here, or do you have to go through Nutrien or somebody else to get it?
I don't recall how we ordered that guy.
We usually get it through our Wilbur Ellis.
Yeah.
Wilbur Ellis, or one of the major companies and stuff.
Yeah. I mean, there's other brand names with pelargonic acid that you might find at Wilco.
Okay. I just thought it might be easier for what little I need, you know, and stuff. Yeah.
Well, you're still using pretty, even for a mixture with glyphosate, you're still using a pretty high rate.
Wow.
A few ounces per gallon.
Yeah. Okay.
But yeah, I would recommend for holly that you treat the tree in place and don't cut it down. Then you can come back and make sure that it's actually dead.
So scar the bark and then put it in that way?
You can do that, yeah. I've had experience with the little 22 shells that are filled with imazapyr, and you don't have to use the big injection lance thing to do it, because that's like $1,000 for the lance. And the one that the guy had that I was helping out, it just kept jamming, you know? And the last thing you want to have is a whole bunch of imazapyr shells all jammed up in the end of the lance. So the way that I would prefer to do it is just to buy the actual 22 shells and go in and just tap them in with like a jeweler's hammer or something, just tink, tink, tink. Because if you put them in at a 45 degree angle, then they can leak all of the imazapyr into the holly tree.
You put it into the shell before you...
Yeah, it comes from pre-made. Yeah.
Oh, okay. Mm-hmm.
That's if you don't have very much holly.
Yeah, true.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. You can also spray it foliar with... they were using Milestone and Garlon mixture. Talked about that at the latest pull together, I think.
Like I say, where I was the other day, some of those are 20, 30 feet tall.
Yeah. Yeah. Hmm. So how goes the tip on your backpack sprayer?
If I had some red berries there, I'd see if I could sell them.
Well, okay.
Let somebody else deal with the problem.
Well, the birds will make sure of that.
I know when I was scaling log trucks, one guy came in, he had a holly in the back end. I said, what are you going to do with that? He said, well, I'm going to plant it at home. And after I got done talking to him, he threw it away. Because they do, they come up, and you get one that tall, you're not going to pull it out.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
My neighbors, that right on the corner of their property, which borders my driveway, and decided that they were going to put in some good barrier stuff so that, you know, one of them was bamboo. And this year I've got 8 bamboo plants coming up on my side of the property. Mm-hmm. And it's like, nice. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. You don't see as much bamboo around anymore. I seen some the other day and I was surprised. We used to have a lot of it, and then we got rid of it.
Yeah, well, that was back in the 60s and 70s. Everybody thought, hey, that's really cool, you know.
Yeah.
They didn't do anything to contain it. They just stuck it in the ground.
Ugh. Yeah.
And the only way that, if you want to have nice decorative, then basically pour concrete box, planted in that because But so I'm gonna have a chat with her and say, you know, you're gonna start getting all the stuff I cut off on my side because it, you know, you should have like it. And I mean, plant it right next to the fence too. So it's like,
yeah,
sorry.
People have a lot of problems with in-ground pools and pond liners and things because the roots don't really discriminate. They'll just go through anything they possibly can. So the moment you have a crack in your concrete box, then it's over. It'll go right through.
Well, we don't have a crack in a concrete box.
That's good.
Concrete box.
That's good. I recommend if somebody is really gaga for bamboo, then they just have an elevated container, planted in, you know, a planter box or something, because then when the roots punch through that, then you can see that they're punching through it. If it's elevated off the ground, it makes it a lot easier. I have heard of people making a sand trench when the neighbor has planted a whole bunch of bamboo. That's the creeping variety. With the idea being that it's easier for you to excavate through a sand trench and just find all those roots that are coming through and rip them out. I would just use herbicide.
I did, but it didn't do that much of an impact yet. Yeah. So yeah. I'm almost about ready to just use my spray gun and just kind of raise it up a little bit. But I think that's not quite. I do carry liability insurance, but I really don't want to pay them for getting rid of their...
The wind was blowing.
Yeah. Items from the board. I wanted to ask a little bit about the Heritage Farm down here. Boy, I see they're really busy. I guess that's the deal for Cougar Creek, is it?
Yeah, the wetland.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Now, is there any... Okay, Randy said, is, you know, as soon as we start disturbing some of this stuff, all of a sudden we get all kinds of stuff showing up. Mm-hmm. Are they going to try to make sure that they don't, you know, or they control anything that comes up out there and okay?
Yeah, there's a planting plan that will follow construction, and then there will be several years of ongoing maintenance and control work.
Okay.
Yeah. Actually, I had a question about that. There was a boundary line to the east, right where the traffic light is.
Yeah.
And then it's just kind of, you know, wild or natural at that point.
Yeah.
Is it going to continue into that area, or is it just at that property line?
Yeah, it's just to the property line.
Okay. So who owns that property that's right south of that traffic light?
I mean, I can look it up.
The county doesn't own it.
It might be right away. I'm not sure.
Cowlitz is two parcels down.
Yeah,
I know that.
Uh-huh. It might be county right away.
Hmm. Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
I'd have to look.
Because the reason I asked that is because there's knotweed right by the traffic light.
Yeah.
Oh. Uh-huh. Well, I'll have to drive down there then and go see what knotweed looks like.
Oh yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. As soon as you. As soon as you go
come by my place for a cup of coffee, you.
Oh, okay.
It's all on the neighbor's side, and they don't want me to spray it over there.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Well, they like knotweed too, huh?
I guess so.
Yeah. Same neighbors?
Huh?
Same bamboo neighbors?
No. Oh. No, this is on the other side.
Yikes!
You can't win.
Yeah.
You just, you know, it doesn't do you any good to get all, you know, pissy about it because they're still going to be your neighbors. So
yeah.
Oh, there's two parcels.
True.
Hmm. Oh yeah, and there yeah. So right at the traffic light, that's right of way. Just to the east of the traffic light, there's 1.2 acres owned by MB Real Properties LLC out of Portland.
Hmm. So what are they doing? I mean, my God, they're hundreds of feet off Cougar Creek with all that excavation work they're doing down there at the Heritage Farm.
Yeah.
I mean...
Yeah, it's a big, like, stormwater wetland project, so they're excavating out tons of material and...
Mm-hmm.
They're going to store more water there, basically.
Wow.
Okay. Kind of mirror the west side of that parking lot area where they have more of the wetland thing going on.
Yeah, but even more so.
Bigger.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I have one request, Justin.
Mm-hmm.
I drive by Daybreak quite often. You know, I used to farm it at one time, but and then it doesn't appear like, I mean, I don't know, it doesn't seem like much happens down there anymore. You've got a lot of weeds, you've got, you know.
I'm real surprised a cigarette butt hasn't eaten up out there.
Oh,
yeah. Yeah, exactly.
Every time I drive by there, it's like, wow, that is ripe to burn.
Mm-hmm. And I mean, you've got some of the weeds that, you know, are like, I'm surprised that within the next week or two, they're not going to have any seeds left on them because they're going to be blowing, you know, more. And
right on the corner there?
Well, on the corner and then all the way back where they put the trails and everything. I mean, as far as I can see.
Mm-hmm.
But.
Hmm. Which specific species were you seeing?
I'd have to get my binoculars out. I mean, I have to walk up to them and see them, and my vision's not good enough to be able to spot them 100 yards away and tell you what it is. I know there's still garlic mustard in there. There's, I'd have to go back and pay better attention. I'm usually going, you know, 50 miles an hour when I'm driving by, so it's kind of hard to...
On that curve?
Yeah, not onto the curve. But when I'm going around the curve, I'm usually looking at the road.
Oh, okay.
I don't want to meet anything else coming the other direction on the curve.
I see wild cucumber on the fence a lot of times.
Really?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
That was always a problem down there.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. But, I mean, at least if somebody go down and just mow it, it'd look better. But,
yeah.
Mm.
But then again, there's a ton of rock in there, and so you've got to be willing to replace a lot of blades.
Mm.
Mm. All right. Well, we can pass it along. See who.
Yeah, I think that's one something. That is on the list for parks to at least mow a fire perimeter.
They mow a little bit right where they probably put the gate in, right on the corner.
Right on the corner.
Mm-hmm. And they that's mow about a little bit right in there, and that's all that can be mowed.
Okay. And we pass it along to parks.
Got my hopes up there.
And then it stops.
Mm-hmm.
I do have a question on neighbors. What is a landowner's options when the neighbors won't do anything?
Yeah, there's a couple of different things that we usually recommend after talking to them, obviously. The first thing would just be that if you can, and you're already doing all your stuff and you feel like it would make some inroads or something, you can offer to the neighbor, hey, can I, you know, turn the nozzle that way a little bit so I can at least get the fence line. And if they give you the go ahead, then, you know, probably save yourself some trouble in the long run. If you're talking about the whole parcel and it's not just, you know, that fence
line. Yeah, it's the whole parcel.
Then, yeah, there's...
Between knotweed, Japanese knotweed, and Canadian thistle and tansy.
Yeah. Yeah, if it's not a riparian area, there's not a lot that we really have the bandwidth for with when it comes to knotweed. The amount of knotweed that's just upland, you know, downtown Vancouver, it's just full of it. It's unreal. You know, every corner you turn, they've pruned it into hedges and they're just happy. Whatever, fine. So realistically, very unfortunately, upland knotweed, there's not going to be a lot of movement for that. But with Canada thistle, if it's next to agriculture, or the tansy, absolutely. You can always pass that along. You know, that's what we advise people to do. Just call us, tell us where it's at, and if it's
now, can you go into a gated community then?
No, not generally. We don't hop a gate to go into a gated community. But if there's a vantage point, you know, if it's a public road and then, you know, the informant's property where you can see it, then yeah, they could always invite us there.
If you've got the property and they got property here that you can't see from the road, you can invite the county in to come up to your fence line if they look over and see it.
That's what I've done before.
Yeah.
Then they can do something.
Can you run your drone over it?
Generally, I don't use the drone for enforcement stuff. I generally use it for outreach education stuff where we have something that's, you know, if there's a request where I'm doing a survey for the landowner already, or like knotweed, or we're just flying a river, you know, something like that. Yeah, if there's a vantage point, then we can come and take a look at it. If it's not anything enforceable, like you have bamboo, then the last thing that we advise people, last option, is the community mediation line, where it's not really a, you know, noxious weed enforcing action at that point.
Bamboo is a different neighbor.
Yeah. Yeah.
I've kind of got all my neighbors trained because I spray all my fences every year. Mm-hmm. So they all expect a dead zone on my fence.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
To try and keep things like the knotweed at bay.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
I'm sorry, I got to leave, but see you in November. Okay?
Yeah. Okay. Thanks well,
thank
for coming
you.
On.
Thanks
yep.
for the input.
Yep.
See you later.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. Nice to meet you.
You too.
Yeah, so other than that, other than community mediation, you know, making chocolate chip cookies and just, you know, can you please? if it is an enforceable thing, then yeah, invite us over and we can do that. And the list itself will kind of give you the general idea. If it has a asterisk, and those are all down here, where it explains that for meadow knapweed, control is not mandated unless the weeds are within 100 feet of a neighboring property that is producing agriculture.
I'm sure that's on the website.
Yeah, that's where I'm looking at it right
that's
now.
That's where we're looking.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. I'll go on. So producing agriculture, do you consider grazing beef producing agriculture?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, mm-hmm. absolutely. Yeah.
Yeah, it's right up to my fence.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's a livelihood, absolutely.
Mm-hmm. And I know when we bought that particular piece of property, knapweed was more enforced because
mm-hmm.
I'd only had the property for less than a year and I get a phone call from you.
Mm-hmm.
And hey, we were just by there and your field's full of knapweed.
Yep.
Yeah, I know, I'm working on it.
Yeah. Well, we get a lot of people from California that have no idea. They just moved here and they have not the first, it's beautiful wildflowers. Well, No. So that's kind of the learning curve. If it's a situation where somebody is already doing bare ground treatments for like an orchard or something, and they say, I'm producing agriculture, look at what the neighbor's got going. To my mind, that's a little bit less, it moves the needle just a little bit less because mm-hmm. they're already doing bare ground. But if you have to go out extra, right, and your pasture would be fine except for something that's coming in, yeah, and you don't have to treat unless, you know, something comes in. That's definitely the idea. That's definitely what the law is there for. So yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. You don't know of anybody with spray drones coming in yet. Into this area at all? Do you?
Oh yeah.
Oh,
there's
okay.
a couple. I've seen a couple of different ones. Yeah.
Oh, okay. In local here then.
They cover
in Albany. That'll come. They
well, I know Albany, but I don't know of anybody here local and yeah. stuff. Yeah.
Well, they'll cover this area.
Oh, will they?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
I will say I talked to a gentleman last year at the fair who was looking into starting his own business here.
Mm-hmm. Oh, uh-huh.
For a spray drone company. I don't know if he ever went through with it, but he said he was in the process of looking into his business model and stuff. So, mm-hmm. so we may get someone starting a business here locally. So.
I thought I'd seen where they were doing it down in Long Beach.
Oh, okay. Okay. Well, I know down in the valley there's several of them that are starting to set up with those and stuff.
Their drone is quite a bit bigger.
They're huge.
Oh, yeah. They're as big as this.
Yeah.
Yeah.
12
yeah.
foot.
Wow. Huh?
12 foot.
Yeah.
It was a friend of mine's working.
Pulled the wings out and everything. Yeah.
Company there in Albany. In blueberries, they were doing right at 100 acres a day.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
And in ag or in forest lands, they were doing 80 with two drones.
Uh-huh. Mm-hmm.
That's what you get one of those kind of.
Yeah. Well, I know we follow a farm in South Dakota, and they have quite a trouble with musk thistle. Mm. And they go out by hand and go through the pastures and spray. Well, anyhow, they decided on this one last year to hire a company to come in and spray drone. And they came back this spring and they go, wow, they, you know, here we got musk thistle and the piece we sprayed, there's nothing. Mm-hmm. And so they're real pleased with how it worked out.
It's pretty amazing the technology and how they can target.
Yeah,
what they want to spray.
Oh yeah,
and the coverage is there.
Oh yeah. Well, and the GPS is like, you know, it's amazing that, and it, especially if you have two of them running, and the two will talk to one another mm-hmm. and stuff. It's like, wow.
Yeah.
You gotta be kidding.
It's mind blowing.
Yeah. Yeah. So okay. All right. Okay, Justin, do we have anything else for today? Anybody else have anything to bring forward?
No.
Okay. I'll entertain a motion to adjourn.
So moved.
Okay.
Second.
Okay. Moved and seconded to adjourn. Thank you very much. All in favor, say aye. Yeah.
Aye.
Okay.
Now, I don't know that I'll be able to make the November 3rd as I have a doctor's appointment at the same time.
Oh, I thought maybe.